Welcome to the first quarter 2020 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. During the question and answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ramon Güemes. Mr. Güemes, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores first quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on assumptions, the analysis of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in the general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on April 23rd at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmb.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the first quarter of 2019, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are Jose Oriol Bosch, Chief Executive Officer, Jose Manuel Allende, SVP Strategic Planning and Business Development, Roberto González, SVP of Indeval, Catarina Clavé, SVP of Clearinghouses, our new Chief Technology Officer, who I'd like to welcome, Claudio Vivian, Gabriel Rodriguez, CFICAP CEO, Alfredo Guillén, COO, José Miguel de Dios, Mexter CEO, Luis Ramón René, Director of Investor Relations, and myself, Ramón Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to our CEO, José Oriol Bosch.
Thank you, Ramón, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the first quarter 2020 earnings conference call. First of all, it is with a heavy heart and a deep sadness that I tell you that on Sunday, April 12th, our chairman, Jaime Ruiz Sacristán, passed away from complications related to COVID-19. Jaime always led the board of directors for 5 years, was a man of integrity, incredible insight and vision, and a strong discipline to execute on his ideas. His character was a constant source of inspiration for those of us who worked closely with him. He was not only our leader, he was a mentor and a partner, but and most important for me, he was a great friend. So all the employees from the exchange, the board members, client and shareholders will miss him. But despite our sadness, all of us will continue doing what he always wanted and for which he made a great effort in all those years, which is to have a better Bolsa, and I guarantee you that we will continue doing it. So our prayers are with his family, and thank you. After this introduction and regarding the first quarter results, we have decided to change the format of the call to make it more friendly to our listeners. So yesterday we sent an email with the press release and the conference call presentation for this first quarter. If you did not receive it, please contact Luis Ramon at lramon@grupovmv.com.mx. You can also download the presentation at VMV's website. As you know, it's www.vmv.com.mx under the Investor Relations, and then click on the corporate presentation. So if we start with the presentation, and please, you can go to slide three after the cover and the disclaimer. Let me tell you that due to the current situation, and I would like to start by talking about the impact of the COVID-19 in our business and what has been our response and priorities in this uncertain environment. Our main priority was and will be continue to be to guarantee all our employees' safety. Therefore, on March 16, I decided to activate our business continuity plan and keeping a safe environment, but at the same time having most of the Grupo Bolsa people operating remotely. Around 95% of our employees are currently working remotely with the same commitment and the same level of efficiency and quality of service that we have always been providing to our clients. So I'm proud to tell you that our investments in IT infrastructure and business continuity have paid off, and we are operating from a solid position of a strength of capital, high liquidity, and balance sheet perspective. We're also focused on risk management, cash flow generation, and cost control. And as previously mentioned, they will continue to work on building a better and a stronger Mexican exchange. Our goals have not changed. We see this sad environment as an opportunity to consolidate our strong position and contribute this way in the required economic growth of Mexico. If you can go to slide four, please. And going to the financial highlights, our revenue for the first quarter of 2020 was up 18% to 996 million pesos, mainly due to higher activity in trading or market-related businesses, services related to the global market, to the SIC, and a tax benefit in CIF Chile. On the expense side, expenses increased 8% as a result of operating expense of projects finished in 2019, mainly in technology and depreciation, as well as the variable compensation due to a better performance in CIF ICAP. The operating income and net income increased 26% and 39% respectively. And the EBITDA was registered at 607 million pesos with a margin of 61%. Worth mentioning that in the first quarter of 2020, we registered a historically record high in revenue, historically record high in EBITDA, EBITDA margin, and net income. If we go to slide five, as mentioned before, the total revenue was up 18%. If we look at the revenue growth by business line, almost all businesses had an increase. The largest was on the OTC market, including the tax, the already mentioned tax benefit in CIF ICAP Chile, that grew 52%. The central securities depository in the VAL increased by 26%, derivatives trading and clearing 19%, equities trading and clearing 11%, and as we have always stated and we can see in this chart, we have a great business diversification. On slide six, on the expense side, expenses were up 8%, so we continue to have a good revenue increase with a tight cost control discipline. Personal expenses were up 13 million as a result of variable compensation in SIF/ICAP. Technology was up $9 million, explained by operating cost of projects completed in 2019, an increment of central bandwidth, and the purchase of data for the global market or SIG-related services. Depreciation was up $6 million due to the acquisition of hardware, mainly for the Storage Area Network, the SAN, and Cygnus Risk Platform, as well as the amortization of projects finished in 2019. Others were up 6 million pesos, explained by provision for promotion activities and events, as well as the option to purchase the remaining shares of SIF/ICAP Chile. When looking at the revenue expenses, we have a net long dollar position, but on the other side, technology and subcustody are the two categories that will be impacted in the next quarters if the peso continues to depreciate versus the dollar and the euro. If we go to slide seven, and business by business, cash equities revenue was up 11%. The average daily traded value, the ADTV, for the first quarter of 2020 was 18 billion pesos, up 28%. The domestic market increased 10% and represented 49% of the total ADTV, and the global market increased 52% and amounted to 51% of the total ADTV. The central counterparty, the CCV, registered a similar figure to the first quarter of 2019 due to a larger number of cross trades. On slide eight, the ADTV in March is mainly explained by the uncertainty and volatility in the local and global financial markets due to the COVID-19 impact. Our strategy to focus on the global market or SIG, listing new foreign values, stocks, and ETFs, lowering the cost for the intermediaries, and making this market easier and cheaper for the investors, has been paying off, and as we did see, for the first time, the global market, the SIG, accounted for more than 50% during this quarter. On slide number nine, the revenue in MexDer on the derivative side, the revenue in MexDer and Asigna was up 21% and 16% respectively. We had higher volume in 28-day TIIE swaps, +203%, with a notional value of 224 billion pesos, and dollar futures that was up 50%. The average margin deposits were 39.4 billion pesos. That's up 27%. The Bolsa will continue working with the financial regulators to list new contracts as electricity and the overnight TIIE futures. On slide number 10, on the OTC side, SIF/ICAP revenue was up 52%. SIF/ICAP Mexico, similar to that of first quarter 2019, and SIF/ICAP Chile up 98%. SIF/ICAP Chile registered higher trading due to, first, volatility in the financial markets as the rest of the world. Second, the Chilean peso appreciating 16% against the Mexican peso. Third, the tax benefits in operations with residents abroad, where the company was subject to a 19% value-added tax. The tax benefit in pesos was 23 million pesos for the period of November 19, March 2020. Going forward, we expect 4 million pesos per month instead of those 23 million. On slide 11, on the listing and maintenance side, the capital formation or the listing and maintenance registered similar figures compared to the first quarter of 2019. Listing revenue was in line with the first quarter of 2019, but expecting weakness for the rest of 2020. We had two cicadas in the first quarter of 2020, Promecap for 1.2 billion pesos, and Mexico Infrastructure Partners for 1.9 billion pesos. Maintenance fees were down 2% due to early debt amortizations and lower listings in 2019. On slide 12, on the Central Securities Depository side, on the Indeval, the revenue was up 26%, and its growth is mainly explained by the services related to the global market, to the SIC. Regarding the direct custody project, we expect some delays due to the COVID-19. Nonetheless, we continue building relationships with global custodians in order to start operations in the second semester of 2020. The average value of the assets under custody was up 5% for the quarter when compared with the first quarter of 2019. However, in March 2020, the average value of the assets under custody decreased 4% compared to February 2020. On slide number 13, information services registered similar figures compared to the first quarter of 2019. On the market data side, in first quarter 2019, we had 12 million pesos of non-recurring revenue. Excluding this concept, the revenue was up 13% as a result of sales with new and existing customers. In Balmer, revenues were down 8% because of one-time implementations in the first quarter of 2019. And in our LED regional project, we continue doing trials with potential clients in the U.S., but also expect some delays due to the COVID-19. On slide 14, our strategy is focused on delivering a strong result despite the current and challenging environment. We continue with the execution of our strategy that, as a reminder, includes further development of post-trade and market data businesses, strengthening legacy businesses by building new added value services, working closer with clients and regulators, and analysis and development of VNV's technological transformation strategy. On slide 15, regarding the progress of the 2020 financial guidance, as a reminder, our EBITDA margin guidance for 2020 is between 58 and 61%. And the net income guidance is between 1.4 and 1.6 billion pesos. As of the end of the first quarter, we reach an EBITDA margin of 61% as well as a net income of 457 million pesos. And on the last slide, on slide number 16, in summary, in the first quarter of 2020, we continued with the execution of our strategy, positive results due to local and global market volatility, and a strong demand for global market SIC services and analytics. Also, a strong financial results, good progress in delivering 2020 guidance, but monitoring closely the economic impact due to the COVID-19, focus on risk management, cash flow, cost control, as we manage through challenging and also through non-challenging times, well-diversified and positioned to drive further growth, solid revenues across all businesses, and multiple growth opportunities. However, it may take us longer than we might have expected to start new businesses and new initiatives operations due to the COVID-19. And that's it. I hope that this was more friendly and useful than reading the long text. So I conclude the presentation. We are now ready to answer any questions you may have. And I would also like to apologize in advance for any inconvenience answering questions. As mentioned, most of my colleagues that will and usually help me in this conference call are working remotely, but we will do our best. So thanks as every quarter. Thanks for attending the conference call, and we're ready for the Q&A. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you need a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, and good morning to all your team. I'm sorry for the loss of your chairman and my condolences to the Ruiz Sacristán family. Congratulations on your results. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, we saw that the market's volatility held different revenues, such as cash trading, derivatives, post-trading, OTC, and in the vault. So what could happen if in the next quarters we start to see more lateral side market? And if you think that in the BAL should continue to deliver around 300 million pesos per quarter. Then my second question is, we have seen the listing of the new Fibra E in the Mexican market, and I believe there will be opportunities for stories with strong fundamentals and good collaterals. However, I would appreciate your thoughts. And how do you see the future equity and debt listings, considering the expected GDP contraction of the country and the risks associated of losing the investment grade? What could be the potential impacts on your business? Thank you.
Ernesto, good morning. Regarding your first question, what can we expect going forward? Well, it really depends on market volatility. We'll continue to do as much as we can, but market volatility definitely helps us. In Cifalcap Chile, as Oriol mentioned, we have a 23 million non-recurring one-time item from the VAT reimbursement. And going forward, we expect this to be around 4 million per month, but definitely Cifalcap did have a good quarter, as the same with Indeval. Whether we can expect 300 million pesos quarter per quarter is difficult to say. We'll do, as I said, we'll do all we can, but we're definitely being helped by the volatility. Regarding the outlook on future listings, considering the economic situation, I would ask Jose Manuel Allende to take that question, please.
Yes. Hi. Morning, everyone. I will say that our pipeline, practical conditions, is weak, and we think it will remain weak for the next month until this contingency passes. On the equity side, for the capital market on equity and Fibras, we think it will be challenging to see new players coming because of the actual level of prices on the market. And on the quarter, we got, as Oriol mentioned, the two secades, we got some placements of long, medium and long-term debt, and then the Fibra Ideal that we just did yesterday. But I will say that this weak activity comes since has been reduced since November of last year. Many offers that were at that time were postponed into February. Some of them were placed in January, February, and early March. But a lot of them were trapped, and they were not able to be placed. We have had some solicitudes or requests that are hoping various times in the markets to be out. What I can tell you about the activity is that, as you may have seen on the material events that issuers are providing to market, they are focusing in eliminating non-basic expenses to keep liquidity, and some of them have activated bank credit lines, and some of them are using them for paying, especially on the short term placements that we have, all the los vencimientos, the maturities, they are prepaid with those bank lines. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, on the short term, we have renewed only 60% of the maturity. The other 40% has been prepaid with the line banks. We think this can keep on going for the next 2 or 3 months, and hopefully when we are back on business, market activity will be back again and prepay the bank lines that are using currently.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Claudia Benavente from Santander.
Hi, good morning. First of all, my most sincere condolences. And then I was wondering what to expect regarding maybe opportunities to make acquisitions. You hold a very strong position in cash, and current timing probably it could indicate that there could be interesting opportunities for making acquisitions. I don't know if in information services line, so any color there would be appreciated. Thanks.
Claudia, we know we have a large cash position. We're always open and looking. If something comes up at the right price and we know we could have, there could be bargains out there. So if we see something, we will definitely look at it. If you have any ideas, we'll be happy to hear about them.
I fully agree with Ramon, Claudia. I think that in this environment, cash is king, and we ended 2019 with 3.1 billion pesos in cash, and now we closed the first quarter with 3.9 billion. So let's take the 3.1 billion, but we had on January 1st. But once it is approved by the General Assembly, we'll be paying a dividend worth 1.1 billion pesos. After that, the remaining balance will be 2 billion pesos, and we generate close to 2 billion cash a year. And this is operational flow, so we have to pay taxes. After, let's say, 30%, we will be ending with another 1.4 billion, so total 3.4 billion, something like that. So, yes, we are, I think that we are in a good position. We have no debt. And if needed, we could raise money. We're definitely in the right position. And due to the current environment and the valuations, and this is a buyer's market, so absolutely we are already looking and ready for any available acquisition opportunity if we can buy something cheap that obviously fits with our businesses. And also I think that we missed you were talking, Ernesto, about the investment grade in Mexico and something like that. But and I'm not saying that Mexico will lose the investment grade, but you were asking what will happen to our market in this potential scenario with Mexico losing the investment grade. Honestly, I do not know, but if we look at the largest market in the region, The largest market in the region is Brazil, and Brazil is not an investment grade country. Therefore, I think that this should not have a big impact. And I don't know it, but I will say I don't think that this is something that is going to happen in the short term. And thanks to both for your words regarding Jaime, Ernesto, and Claudia. Thank you.
And the next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
Yes, hi, good morning. You have already mentioned the dividend. We have seen that the National Banking Commission making some recommendations to the banks. We understand that that does not affect you. Have you received any recommendation to the authorities in one way or another? Given this crisis and the need for people to work remotely, do you think you will be making any long-term changes as to how you operate the business? You will perhaps need less real estate, or do you think this is going to be something that is going to have a long-lasting effect on your business? Thank you so much.
Carlos, good morning. Regarding dividend, we have not received any recommendation from the authorities. That the recommendation that came out was for banks. The dividend will be voted as proposed at the General Assembly. It's a 1.81 peso per share dividend. It's an 80% payout, 4.8% dividend yield. Total amount is 1,073,000,000 pesos. So we plan to go ahead and propose that to the General Assembly this Friday. Mm-hmm. Regarding the long-term plans, it's something we're looking at. We have never had so many people working remotely, and it's worked out very well. But we have to, we're beginning to analyze that. I don't know, Oriol, would you like to comment further on the long-term changes we could have on the exchange?
Yes, I agree. I think that definitely this is going to be an opportunity. I think that the way that we are all working, not just at the Bolsa, and not just working, I think that the way that we are all living is going to change looking forward. Once we come back to normality, and it's going to be a very different normal way to live and to work. So I do agree. I think that this is something that we have already been talking. Actually, a couple of days ago, we were internally talking about that. I think that is too soon to say. But what we are already doing and that I already requested to all different areas is to start keeping track and having a very good feedback of the pros and cons of each one of the different businesses, person by person, and if this is going to be a possibility. But I think that everything is going to change, even the labor market in Mexico and in the world. So we'll see. I think that this could be an opportunity. But what I can tell you is that, as mentioned, we activated our contingency plan very soon, much sooner and earlier than most of the companies in Mexico, we have been very successful. As of today, we had no problem, so we continued with providing the same service, efficiency, everything to all our clients, with 95% of our people working remotely. So this makes us think about what are we going to do, because we are already seeing that we can be successful with a different way to work that we were doing for years. but I think that it's too soon, but we're already looking at that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to you.
Our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. My question is on the market share in cash equities trading. It has continued to come down gradually, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts or any comments on how you feel about your market share at this point. Thank you.
Oriol, would you...
Sorry, I couldn't hear very well. You're talking about the market share with Viva, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Yes. Okay. If we look at the first quarter, the market share in the local market, we continued, and we are just talking about trading, right? So on the local market, trading local stocks, we maintained 96%, 96.3%, and Viva 3.7%. On the global market, SIC, during the first quarter, our market share was 78.77%, and the SIC was 21.23% for Viva. And on the consolidated market in total, we had 86.56% and Viva 13.44%. Talking about the local market, in the local market, we continued with a very good market share. If we look at the market share since Viva started on July 25th, 2018, the accrued market share we had was 97.58%. And now we have 96.3%. So we continue on the local market with a very large market share. That's, again, on the trading side. If we talk about the listed companies on the equity market, obviously Viva has not listed any new company, but they have not been able to move any company that was already listed in the Bolsa to Viva. So we are maintaining 100% of the local companies listed in the equity market. On the global market, SIC, I do agree we are not happy with losing market share. If we look at the accrued number, we had 84%, now we have 79%. We know that this is, and as a reminder, on the local market, there is a best execution regulation. On the global market or SIC, there is no best execution regulation. So either the client or the intermediary, the Casa de Bolsa, they can choose to make the trade, the cross trade, that is the case of the SIC, in one or the other Bolsa. And we know that there is a big concentration of a couple of orders in two or three pension funds, and we're working on that. And on the consolidated market, the accrued number, we had 91%, now we have 86%. So Viva, they had in this first quarter, was the largest number, 13.44%. But as a reminder also, the revenues coming from cash equity trading is 8% of our total revenue. So let's take 15%, even more than that, 15% of 8 would be around 1%. So we are talking about 1% of our total revenues. So this would be the largest impact that we have seen from Viva. So, as the quote says, never underestimate your enemy. It's not our enemy, it's our competitor, but we are not underestimating Viva, but we are not overestimating either. We are watching very closely, and we will continue our competitiveness. We're not happy, but with this number in particular on the global market, SIC, but we're working on that.
Understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Guillermo Gresham from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Firstly, my condolences as well. My question is related to the FX gains on financial income. We had a very strong quarter with roughly 120 million gain from the peso depreciation, which we, of course, imagine is the result of a long USD position. And we would just like a little bit more color, if you could provide, on what exactly drove this performance, meaning what is the asset behind it, and if you also could give a little bit more color on the notion of the size of this position would be great. Thank you.
Yes. Good morning, Guillermo. How are you? Thanks for the condolences. You are right. I think it comes from a long U.S. dollar position. Our operating model generates U.S. dollars. We have more. We collect more dollars than we pay out on a monthly basis. So over time, we've built a position there. We're currently long about $16 million. That's $16 million. We have some dollar-denominated liabilities, mostly all the leasing operations. The added expense from that will come over time and not on a one-time shot, as we see in as we just saw this quarter. We expect that if the FX remains at this level, we expect to have around 45 million pesos of additional expense. So part of that gain would be offset by the dollar-denominated expenses that we have to pay on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. Super clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. And we have no further questions at this time. I'll now turn the call over to our speakers for final remarks.
Well, thank you very much. Oriol, if you would like to just give us some final words.
No, just thanks once again for attending our quarterly conference call. Thanks a lot for your questions, and have a great day and take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.